and I'll draw near to you. Come to me, and you'll find me. Seek me, and I'll be there. So thank you, Lord, for those precious promises. So bless us as we take time to go into your wonderful word. May it bring the great blessing that our path with you was created and designed to bring. So thank you, Lord, for how you're going to teach us through your word today. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be spending some time in this wonderful book. Right after the book of Psalms, open your Bible in the middle. It'll probably be pretty close to the book of Psalms. And then just go to the next book, which is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs talks a lot about paths. Throughout the book of Proverbs, talks about the paths that we walk, the path of life, the path that we choose. There's a bunch of them I've got up here. On our next slide, it says, talking about wisdom, it says, her ways are pleasant ways, they're good, and all of her paths are peace. That's the wisdom that God gives for us. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. He'll keep you from stumbling. He's with us in this path that we walk together. Middle says, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men who have left the straight paths, or the right paths, the good paths, to walk in dark ways. The Lord will save us. He protects us on those paths. One at the bottom, the one whose walk is blameless is kept safe. It's always God's intent. But the one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit. Something's perverse, it means it's twisted. What its original design, what its original intent has been twisted and made something different than what God intended it to be. And, you know, those ways don't end well. And we choose our paths in life. We do. Which one we choose, where we're going, who we're walking with on that path. You know what a path determines? The destination. Absolutely. It depends on where you're going. The path you choose is going to lead you somewhere. But it also decides one other thing. What the journey is going to look like, right? Paths make a lot of difference on the journey and on the destination. And whether or not we're on that path with Him. So let's stand together and we're going to read our verses that we're going to be focusing on today. And we'll read God's awesome word for us, His good promises, wisdom that He has for us. Let's read together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs. That is not Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's Proverbs 4, 23. Pardon my copy-paste. Father, thank you that your word was never copied and pasted. It was spoken through your Spirit, through the hands of men, and we thank you so much for your precious word, Lord God. It is trustworthy. So bless us as we dig into your word and we find the path of blessing, God, that is available to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah, copy-paste. It comes to get you, doesn't it? Every now and again. Oops. We do live in kind of unique times today, don't we?
A lot of yes, we do.
We were kind of talking last week about celebrating different. We talked about last week about male, female. Men and women are different. Women are from Venus. Men are from Mars. You know, there's men and women are different. They were created and designed different with purpose and plan to be different. We really celebrate in our culture a uniqueness. It is a big part of today's culture. Being yourself, being unique, being different. You know, you've got whatever your oddity, whatever your uniqueness is, be yourself is the message of today, isn't it? But it's funny that culture that really celebrates being yourself and unique demands that your uniqueness be the same as culture's uniqueness. You know what I'm talking about? Be unique, but only the way that culture thinks you should be unique. And if you disagree with that culture's view of what your uniqueness should be, you better get in line, because the tolerance of our day becomes a little less tolerant if your uniqueness doesn't fall in line with the accepted uniqueness of our day. It's strange, with every celebrity that presents themselves on social media, all airbrushed and decked out, they have hours to work on their exercise routines. They've got people that they pay thousands of dollars to dress them and give them makeup, and they're saying, "Be yourself," you know. And yet they're feeling the pressure to toe the line. That, you know, the whole social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everybody's trying to create what? Some illusion that I've got it all together, and that, you know, I'm agreeing with the cultural norm, and heaven help you, because the PC police will come and tear you limb from limb, won't they? If you're not lining up in the right way, that things are And it turns out that fitting in, which equals good in our society, equals whatever the culture of the world thinks fitting in should be. And unfortunately, it's many times, not always, it's replacing and getting rid of God's limits, God's calling, what he says, here's what we're supposed to be like. And unfortunately, our culture, which some of us have been around long enough to see how much the norms have changed in the last 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. Some of the things that people are like, I mean, they are staunch. They will not bend on 10 years ago. They thought completely different. I mean, it's been that short of a time for people to change their minds. Some of the younger folks are, if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to start seeing it. What they hold so firmly to will change. It will change. The boundaries will continue to change. Why? Because culture will continue to change. They will continue to change. Our scripture teaches that in 1 John, it says, don't love the world or the things it offers to you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Now, this is speaking, this world that this verse is speaking of is the world system. It's the culture. It's the accepted norms. It's the priorities of our current culture. That's the world system that it's talking about. It's why it says don't love the world or the things it offers you. It's not talking about our world, the physical. I mean, look around at God's creation. Look around at the people around you. The human body, the human race, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. You look at how God designed the body. It's beyond amazing. It's beyond compare how beautifully designed. To think that it just kind of happened by accident, you just have to turn your back on all that science knows about the human body if we're going to say it just kind of happened. You know, it just kind of happened. It is meticulously designed. If you just know a little bit about some of the things our body has to keep in a certain limit, potassium, what happens if your potassium gets off? Leg cramps, at the least. You can be a mess. It messes up your heartbeat. Hemoglobin, if your hemoglobin goes too low, Dorothy, I think, knows about that. It messes you up. Our body is finely tuned, you know. It's a beautiful thing. It was God's design and creation. That's the world that God created. This verse is talking about the world system that exists within that beautiful creation. And so when it says don't love the world or the things it offers you, it's the way that the world is running itself now. And like Satan, oftentimes it offers to us what God is trying to protect us from. It offers to us, this is going to be great. And God says, no, it's not. You're going to regret it. Don't. And God is always trying to protect us. He created us beautifully, uniquely, but always to function within his will and designed within his will. So, as we said before, there's a lot screwed up in our world. Go out into that world and change it with him. That's the secret. Don't walk that path without him. Our verse, and let this, if you don't have a life verse, if you've never had a life verse, this would be a great one for you to start with. I walked with this verse when I was a new Christian. I don't really remember when I learned it and started hanging on to it, but all my Christian life, I've just always known this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, submit to him, and he will direct your paths. That's just been something I've tried to bring into all my joys and problems, and it's been faithful. But it says, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Is there really a right and a wrong way? Is there such a thing as a right and a wrong way, that there's good and evil, that there's truth and falsehood? Does God really care what path I take? Is he just kind of that God that's floating around up there saying, oh, look, there he goes. Just kind of looking at you go and looking at you go. Another one goes this way. It's a pretty wild world. But God says when you're walking your life, if you love me, what did Jesus say? Yeah, if you love me, obey my commands. If you love me, you'll obey me. He says, follow me. Just follow me. Don't just go do whatever and holler when you need something. He says, follow me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right living, the righteousness that we have in Christ. And all these things will be added to you, right? There is a seeking of God first. There is a right and a wrong way. And God's path of blessing is with him. That's where the blessing is. Are you struggling to find blessing in your life? I'm not saying, are you having problems or not having problems? We can have God's blessings whether or not we have problems, because Jesus already told us we will have trials in this world. But if things just don't seem to be working, God's path of blessing. And I love this picture. It's just us little stupid sheep walking alongside the Savior, the shepherd who's going to lead us. That's the picture. That's the picture of us. We're just his sheep. He is the shepherd. But that, as opposed to, here's the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Do anything, be anything, go anywhere you want. That's the world's mindset. It's an open book. Do whatever you want. As long as you don't hurt somebody else, you're good to go. And that's just not the way God designed us or intended for us. He says, I have a path of blessing. You'll find that blessing when you walk with me. If you go off without me, I don't know. I can't help you when you're over there. The other day, Terry was reading her hunting magazine, and she shared something with me. You people don't. Thank you. Joyce is like, Terry was reading a hunting magazine? Yeah, it's that funny. No, she was not reading a hunting magazine. Well, actually, yeah, Terry's dad got magazines through his, I don't know, some NRA that he was a part of. And we're still getting magazines. He's gone home to be with the Lord, what, how many years? So 7 years. We're still getting magazines. I don't know how that happens, but I pass those on to Terry's brother. Terry does not read hunting magazines generally, but apparently this article interested her. And it was a really interesting point about how to bring your, what you're hunting, to you. Most people that hunt deer, I mean, I guess when you hunt pheasant, you're looking for it. When you're out hunting deer, you're in what? You're in a tree stand, right? Generally, you're in a something where you're waiting for the deer to come by. You know what makes that easier, they said in this article? Cut a path towards you. Deer will find the path of least resistance. Cut a path. Let them walk towards you. Put down a food trail. Let them get used to that being a good way to go. If there's a fence in the way, kind of put the fence down. Give them a path towards you. And guess what? That's a way to bring the deer to you. You've got that advice from an experienced hunter. No. I've never been hunting. But I thought that was really easier. That was easy or interesting. Because you know what? We have an enemy. And that enemy is hunting us. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to make it easy for you to come to him. He's going to make the path wide. He's going to get rid of obstacles. If there's a fence in the way, he'll push it out of the way. He might leave something to kind of lead you toward him. You have an enemy. You're the hunted. And God says, you know what? If you walk the path with me, I can recognize the enemy's little tricks. I see when he's cut a path. I see when he has laid bait. I will let you know. My spirit indwells you, and I'll say, don't go that way. That is the enemy sucking you in. He's trying to lead you away. And with the Spirit of God walking alongside the Lord, he can protect you. But when we go off without him, sometimes we do that. We make mention of God. We say, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And then we live our lives without really ever spending time with him, without seeking him, inviting him along, trusting him, depending on, I need you, God, to lead me through this life. I can't do it on my own. I need you with me. Boy, when you say go, I'll go. When you say don't go there, I'll stop. I'll follow you. God can help us. Now, all of our pathways are going to look different, aren't they? We all have different pathways in that jungle out there we call the world. What's the same for the believer is who we're walking it with. Who we're making intentional plans to walk with Christ as we're doing this. So my question to you to think about, are you walking that path with God, with Jesus, or without him? And this is just an honest thought to self. Do I really have him close by? Is he my dependence? Is he my shepherd? Is he the one I depend on? It's important. The verse goes on to say, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust him with all your heart. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it grudgingly. Oh, gosh, if I really try to live this Christian life, it's going to be so boring. It's going to be no fun. God's going to be a killjoy. And God's not a killjoy. He's a joy filler. He wants to give you joy. Sometimes we make him out to be like a killjoy, but that's only because that's not really who he is. We're following some caricature of God that he's some stern, you know, this is the way God looks. And when we come into his presence, he's like, where were you yesterday? You know, God says, come into my presence with freedom and confidence. I want you. I want to walk alongside you, but you got to invite me in. And if you leave the path that I have for you, I'm going to be calling back to you, but I'm not going to grab you by your ear and drag you back. You got to do that yourself. You've got to just trust me. You've got to trust me. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it goes against the world's values. Even when it goes against your friends and what they say is right or wrong. Even though it's going to cost you, this is going to be hard. That's going to cost me money. I might have to blow a Saturday on that. It's worth it. Even if you don't always understand it. It says, in all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, acknowledge God. What do we say? If I'm going to say he's Lord, he's Lord. It's not just a word. It's not just a talking point. When I say he's Lord and King of my life, he's really Lord and King of my life. And what he says, I'll do. Where he sends me, I'll go. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him as Lord. I will submit to him. And he'll make my path straight. He'll direct me where he wants me to go. The flesh is going to say, but I'm thinking, I don't know. Seems like this might be a better idea. You know what they say? I heard somebody saying, or what really oftentimes is going on, but I want, you know, and God's saying, trust me. Acknowledge me, submit to me. I'll make your path straight. I'll make it safe. Not safe that there's not going to be risk. If that was the case, I'd be saying, Max, you're going outside of God's will because that's not going to be safe. That's not the safe we're talking about. Safe in that even when we're led into danger, even when we're led into trials and hardships, he's right there. He says, don't worry about it. I'm with you. I'll make your path straight, even though it's hard. That's the faith walk. That's the path of blessing. That's the path of blessing. This next verse, and I want to be careful of our time. It says, guard your heart above all else. A couple of different versions. The New Living Translation is kind of the more that I remember memorizing it. Guard your heart above all else. The way that I learned it, for it is the, anybody know? Wellspring of life. You know what wellspring is? I remember there's spring. Anybody been to spring wells downriver? It's an actual spring where there's water gushing out of it, but it's really sulfur, a lot of sulfur in the water. You get out of the car and you see the water gushing out, but you're like, oh gosh, it smells bad. That's not the kind of wellspring we're talking about. It's wellspring of living water. That's your life. Guard your heart. It's the wellspring. It's where everything flows out of. It just flows out of your life. King James said it this way. Keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence. Keep it. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart. Or English Standard, keep your heart with all vigilance. You think of vigilance as being guarding and protective, careful. Somebody's on vigil. For from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart. Don't give it away. Don't give it away to anybody but the Lord. Don't trade it for money. Don't trade it for fame or prosperity or popularity. That's the big fault today is popularity. Don't lose it by just misplacing it and forgetting about where you're placing your heart. What's how you're using your heart. Our heart. And whether or not we guard it is what will keep us on the path of blessing or allow us to stray off of the path of blessing. Whether it's our own selfish desires, whether it is Satan deceiving our heart, or it's just loving the world more than the Father. Guard your heart. Just two things and then we'll close. Guard what's going in. Guard what's going into your heart. You know why you drink water out of the drinking fountain or out of your faucet that's good? You know why it's good? You know why it doesn't look like that? Yeah, it goes through a filtration system before it gets to you. We don't drink Detroit water without it coming, being filtered for us. Praise the Lord. All right. Guard or filter what goes into your heart. Our filters today are just about non-existent. Just about anything is good. Anything's okay. Remember, ever hear the, you can finish these for me. Bad company corrupts good character, right? You are what you eat, right? What you take in is what you are. We have a flood of ungodliness that just covers us constantly. It is always pouring over us in our just TV, internet, on our phones, billboard signs driving down the road, the songs and the movies. There's a constant flow of things that would be things that God would be saying, that's not how I created you. That's not what I designed you for. Do you know who? You've heard of sex trafficking. There's children, adults being sold for people's pleasure. You know who the number one supplier of that is? What country in the world? The United States of America. number one supplier of trafficked victims. Does that shock you? Hold on to your seats. You know who, where the number one demand that that supply goes to is? Us, the United States of America. Is there any other country that has had more access to God and His Word than this country has? Is there anybody more tangibly blessed in this world than this country? And yet, that should just make you sick to your stomach. It's just, it makes a knot in my stomach. What's going in? We have to guard and filter what is going in. There is stuff that is the highest rated, and I'm just going to say it, Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. It's what I always thought of was pornography. I'm just saying it. It has sex, nudity. It's all out there. I've not watched it. I've read about it. I heard enough about it. It's pornography. Sorry. But that's not the only one. There's tons of shows that take great joy in violence and things that would just bring... And I'm not a prude. You know, I was just talking... Where were we at? Yeah, I was talking about, I don't know. I was talking somewhere about Braveheart. Now, that's got some violence in it. I think the guys did less than. I probably don't remember a lot of the movie, but I don't, if there's violence because of war, because of things like that, I don't have a problem with realism. But when it's realism for our own gratuitous, then I have a problem with it. We have to guard what's coming in, right? Or else we're drinking the Detroit River. It's unfiltered, right? Parents, are you guarding your homes? Are you guarding your heart? You're the one. You're the one that filters what your kids see. What they do when they leave your home, you can't control that, right? But you can give them the example of what it means to filter things that God would just not be pleased with. It matters. It matters. It's part of walking the path with Jesus. The blessing is there. Unfortunately, as a nation, we have walked off the path of blessing in too many ways, and we're reaping the consequences of it. Lastly, guard your hearts by checking what's coming out. What's coming out? Turn on the faucet, right? You'll find out whether it's good or bad. Jesus said, "What out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks," right? What's in there will come out. And you find out if what's coming out in my speech and my actions, the things that I love, the things that I pursue, the things that I spend money, time, the things that I spend effort and energy on, if they're things that would honor God, praise God. If they're things that would be hurtful, dishonor God, then we need to stop and say, where's my love? Where's my first love? Because, as this verse says, back up one, please. It determines the course of your life, doesn't it? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Live your life. Live it with gusto. Live it with joy. Be passionate. Go change the world. Make a difference. But guard what's going on in.
pay attention about what's coming out, and you'll be on the path of blessing. That's what God desires for you, is the path of blessing.
We're just gonna close, I think. I just want to give you a moment to pray. If you've got a faith journal, you can jot down. If there's one thing that the Holy Spirit has touched your life about, that says, you know what, that's something I've just not been guarding. That's something that I've not really been submitting to God, I've been trusting in my own wisdom rather than God's. And He's touched something, then write that down. If you don't have a faith journal, grab a connect card or an offering envelope. Just write it down and say, God, your spirit was touching on this, and I want to come back to you on this and say, what do I need to do with this? What's the one thing? Let's just take a minute and pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your desire for us has always been to bless, Lord, to bring goodness into our lives, to protect us from things that are going to be hurtful and destructive to us. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your heart for us. Lord, we all have areas. I have an area, Lord, as I was preparing this message, that you put your finger on and said, you need to guard your heart better than that. So, Lord, as I'm listening for your spirit, Lord. If there's an area, a certain thing, a certain area, a time, a person, whatever it might be, Lord, that we need to guard our hearts, Lord, for your sake, Jesus, for the sake of our own faith walk, for the sake of our families, our children maybe, our loved ones, Lord. Lord, help us to just take that with us today. And thank you for the blessing that you're going to bring as we bring ourselves back on the path with you in this area. And we trust you, Lord. It may not make sense to us, Lord, but we trust you. And we're going to thank you, Father, for doing that, Lord. So, Lord, as we go today, we're going to thank you for blessing our day. You've just given us a gorgeous weekend. We honor you. We thank you for it. Help us, Lord, to go today with joy in our hearts to say, I'm going to be walking on the path of blessing with you, and it's going to be good. So thank you, Lord, for that. Bless us today as we go, all for your kingdom's sake, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. God bless you. I wanted to remind you that tonight, right here, we are having our community prayer time. So we'll be gathering together with the other churches for prayer at